Hello, how are you everyone? Happy, happy Sunday. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Donna has just arrived, and there'll probably be a few more people arriving during the teaching. We have a study with the Scribe Week starting up tomorrow, and so we have a couple of guests coming in tonight. Nan Kinney is coming here from Vermont, and Nikki Dobson from Oklahoma. And Ruby has gone to the airport right now to pick them up. So they'll probably all three be arriving sometime during the hour. So you may hear that going on in the background. Let's see. Do I have anything else to say before I go into prayer? I don't think I do. I think I'm pretty empty right now. We're here for Holy Spirit guides. I could say that. Oh, I know what I can do. I can give you the link to the message that we are going to be looking at tonight. It is called Broaden Your View, and it is a message that was given to Laurent and me. It looks like around January 5th, 2008. Okay, that's all I have to say. So what I'm going to do is just go into prayer, and if you all would please join me, I would appreciate that. Thank you very much. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for those moments when we remember to be still and have gratitude for you, for your teachings and all of the different forms that they come, for our own willingness to practice those teachings. I know that it is through gratitude that our willingness itself increases. And I know also that it does take willingness, and as Jesus said in A Course in Miracles, it takes great willingness to transcend the ego, to let go of the ego as who we are, and to truly and sincerely know ourselves. And so I want to say thank you for gratitude, since moments of gratitude are how we nurse that willingness that really is a necessary component to our awakening. Help us to remember, Holy Spirit, if we are not taking time for gratitude, gratitude for our own willingness, gratitude for your teachings, gratitude for your guidance. Help us to remember to take those silent moments of gratitude, thereby nursing our willingness to know thyself. Amen. Hey, Laura Blue is in the room. I've also noticed Ching Wu the last few times I've come in the room. She's been around. All right. So, Donna, do you want the book? All right, so I've given you all the link, but some people have entered the room, so I'm passing you the link again. Again, the message is dated January 5th, and it's called Broaden Your View. And here's what the message says. The desire to be loved by others is the desire to avoid your own perceived self-hatred. I say perceived self-hatred because you do not truly hate yourself. You hate an illusion of yourself. This is very important for you to see, and it is this realization that will allow you to let go of everything that you fear. Okay, so what I don't remember at all, maybe during the message it will come up, what I don't remember at all is what this desire to be loved by others was. Some possibilities were, I think this is around the period of time when there was really some heavy traffic on the peace of God, you know, for lack of better words, just to be descriptive, you know, attacking Regina and NTI. So maybe I was having feelings about, you know, these people who appeared not to like me and were spreading the word, you know, don't like her. So maybe it was that. I know that Laurent has had difficulty in the past, like when he would teach, if people in the room in Pal Talk seemed to be typing something that appeared to disagree with him. He had difficulty with that, so maybe that's what this is about. I also know that at some point in January, although I don't think it was this early in January, so I don't think this is it, but Laurent appeared to reject me, so possibly, but actually doubtful, that this message was referring to my desire that he like me. It's probably more likely the Peace of God thing or the ACIM Gather thing for Laurent or both of those things. You know, just wanting to be approved of, loved, liked by, you know, the general others in our awareness. And both of us were receiving some signals at that time that there were at least some people who strongly did not like us. So that's probably what it was about. But what's interesting is he says the desire to be loved by others. Okay, look at this. The desire to be loved by others is the desire to avoid your own perceived self-hatred. All of that in the first sentence. Boy, sometimes he just doesn't beat around the bush at all. So let's just pretend that this was about me wanting to be liked by those people who are posting on the Peace of God at that time. Okay, so let's just pretend like that's the story. So we have a storyline to play with. So, you know, I may have wanted these friends to like me, and they were posting daily things about me that really weren't very nice. They really weren't very nice. And so I may have been wanting somehow to make them like me, to see me differently, to see I wasn't this bad character they were painting me to be, to see that my intentions were actually much more honorable than they were imagining. And what Spirit is saying is that my desire to have them like me, you know, it was really just me wanting to avoid looking at how much I hated myself, right? Again, how much I hated myself. And in fact, now I do not have that same self-hatred that I did back then. And now I'm okay with people not liking me. You know, still not everybody likes me. There was a woman very clear about that yesterday in my life, that she didn't like me. And I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm totally okay with that. I'm okay with that with love. I'm okay about that with love for her. So that change in me kind of shows that Holy Spirit is right about this. If I was uncomfortable at that time with people who didn't like me, right? It was really because I was uncomfortable with my own self-hatred. Yeah. And now that I don't have that self-hatred, if people choose not to like me, I'm willing to let them have that choice, to be honest. Now, the second sentence is also good, the second and third sentence. He says, I say perceive self-hatred, right? He said it was my desire to avoid my own perceived self-hatred. I say perceived self-hatred because you do not truly hate yourself. You hate an illusion of yourself. Now that, I think, is a very cool sentence. In fact, if we go with the storyline, that what the catalyst for this message was the people on the Peace of God at the time. One thing that I could clearly see is that this Regina that they were writing about wasn't me. I mean, it was incredibly obvious. They had an imaginary Regina in their own minds that they hated. And that's who they were writing about. Here, Barb, I'll give you the link. But what Spirit is saying is that's true for me. Actually, he's saying that's true for you too, right? When you feel self-hatred, self-judgment, unworthiness, guilt, right? When you feel all of that about what appears to be yourself, the one that you really hate, the one that you're really judging, is not yourself. It's an illusion of yourself. And then he says, this is very important for you to see. Very important. And it is this realization that will allow you to let go of everything that you fear. Next paragraph. Oops, Lord Blue has his hand up. Okay, Laura Blue, let me see what you got. I gotta move my thing here. A desire to be loved has something to do with love. So is it an ego thing or a God thing? I'm gonna say it's an ego thing. Yeah, the presence of God in my mind is an acceptance of any illusion because it is an illusion. So like I said, I'm okay now with people who don't like me. I understand when someone doesn't like me now that really all that's going on is that they're listening to and believing ego in their own mind. I totally get it that that's not their truth. You know, those aren't their true thoughts. I'm not all offended, and I feel also no desire to change their opinion. I mean, if they still want to be choosing that opinion, they can have it. So the God mind in me is totally okay with people not liking me. So the desire to be loved has to be ego. Is your hand still up, Lord Blue, or did you just forget to put it down? Okay, so true desire to be loved is a God thing, right? I guess I don't know what you mean by true desire to be loved is a God thing. I would say true desire to be only love yourself, not to be loved, but to be love, right? You know, like Jesus said, love your enemies. So when Jesus said, love your enemies, he's not focusing on the desire to be loved. He's focusing on the desire to be love. So I would say the true desire to be love is a God thing. I would say the desire to be loved is ego. is it not a God thing to expect to be loved by God? No, I want to say that's still ego. There's an idea of separation in there that has to come from ego. When you know yourself, love is a natural response to everything, and that's the God mind. And then I'm just going to move on, Lord Blue, just because this is a very long message, and I feel like I've made my point. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So, second paragraph. Think for a moment about your desire to be loved, your desire to be approved of, to be liked, or to be looked at favorably by others. When you are honest with yourself, you will see that this is one of your greatest worldly desires. And I have a feeling here he's not just talking about me and Laurent. I mean, I think that maybe this is true of all of us. We really want people to like us, to see us favorably, right? He says this is one of our greatest worldly desires. When you do not love someone in the world, it is often because you believe they did not love you first. When you love someone, it is usually because you feel loved by them. There is a direct connection between your feeling for others and how you perceive they feel about you. Okay, I'm going to pull out the Bible. We have this friend named Jesus. You guys are familiar with him? He's said to have been quite wise for his young age. And just recently I was reading from Luke chapter 6. In fact, if you saw the most recent NTI video, you probably saw this because I read it in that video. I reposted that video today because it's 9/11 and it seems very fitting. So here's what Jesus says in the Bible, not NTI, but in the Bible at Luke chapter 6. He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. And now I'm going to skip on down. That was verses 27 and 28 in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to skip on down to 32. He says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. It seems to me that the message that we're reading from Holy Spirit right now is the same as this message from Jesus 2,000 years ago. He's saying, now, you know, in the Bible it says the word sinners, Holy Spirit isn't using the word sinners, but if he was using the word, he would be saying ego. He's saying ego, right? Ego loves people because it feels loved by them. An ego doesn't like people because it feels not liked by them. This is the way the ego operates in the world. You know, the ego is always judging, how do you feel about me? And then, or how do I perceive you feel about me? And then basing how I feel about you on how I perceive you feel about me. And this is exactly what Jesus is asking us to let go of. In the Bible, he's asking us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, to bless those who curse us, and pray for those who spitefully use us. All right, let's go back to the third paragraph and broaden your view. Holy Spirit says, the desire to be loved is a great obstacle to awakening because it covers your greatest fear. It is also an obstacle to following guidance or to being authentic because you will deviate from the guidance you hear, at least to some measure, if you feel that you may not be approved of by others. And I will tell you also that you may deviate from guidance if you feel that Spirit is asking you to give of yourself in some way to someone that you don't like or that you think is using you or doesn't respect you or doesn't appreciate you. You may hold back on guidance. So Spirit is saying these desires to be approved of and this habit of only giving to those that we know approve of us, only giving of our love and our generosity to those that we know of approve us, is a great obstacle to awakening because it will keep us from following our guidance. Now that, of course, is only if we choose to listen to ego over Holy Spirit, right? But many of us, if we are choosing to hate people, if we are choosing to seek mightily for their approval, then we are also showing willingness to listen to ego. That's exactly what we're doing. So the next paragraph, Holy Spirit says, I'd like you to take a moment now to look within your mind at your human memory and realize what an obstacle the desire for love is. So he was literally asking me and Laurent, and now I would say he is asking you, to look at your memory and notice the times that you did not follow your guidance or your intuition, right? You really made your own choice with the ego. You made your own choice because you either wanted someone's approval, which is primarily what he's talking about here, or it could have been the flip side of that, because you did not want to be with that person that you didn't like. You know, he is saying that we will, if we look at our memories with honesty, we will be able to admit, not with judgment, he doesn't want us to admit with judgment, but with clarity, we will be able to admit that this is a problem for us, this wanting people to like us in order to give them our liking, our gift of love. And then he continues, now that you've realized what I say is true, let's look at the reason for this obstacle. The reason is clear and easy to see. Below the desire to be loved, there is an intense and boiling belief in the hatred of self. This feeling, the belief, is so intense that you seldom look it right in the eye. Instead, you prefer to look in the eye of illusory approval. But do not lie to yourself. Illusory approval is illusory and not based on truth. You realize this when you notice that illusory approval is shifting and changing. It is never consistent, and it is not something you can count on in trust. This is why you are always acting in some way, not being truly authentic. You are fearing the loss of illusory approval and doing or not doing whatever you feel it takes to maintain the approval you crave so desperately. I think David Hoffmeister and his friends have coined the phrase, at least that's where I've heard it, people-pleasing. I believe that is one of what they have in the past called their two rules, right? No private thoughts and no people-pleasing. And that's what Holy Spirit is talking about here, people-pleasing. How do we consciously change ourselves? Consciously say things or do things or not do things in order to get approval. You know what? I got a story, a new story. I have this cousin named Gary. Gary's 11 or 12 years older than me. So by the time I was like 6 or 7, Gary was already gone away. He joined the Navy. I think that when I was young, I spent a significant amount of time around him because his mother was the aunt that I spent the most time with. So I probably knew Gary quite a bit as a young, young child. But by the time I was 6 or 7, he was already gone. And I never really knew Gary growing up. You know, I don't really remember those early, early years. So I never really knew Gary. But I always heard stories about Gary. You know, Gary joined the Navy, and from that vantage point of the Navy, he saw the world, and I would hear all the stories about his travels. And I was a little girl in Kansas, you know. So I'd hear all these romantic stories of Gary's travels around the world. And then when he got out of the Navy, he bought a ski shop, and then another ski shop, and then another ski shop, and he ended up owning a chain of ski shops in Colorado. And he worked during the ski season, but when it was not ski season, Gary had money, and he just traveled all over the world. In fact, his wife, Lois, I was just with them last weekend, and she told me that for their first date, are you ready for this? For their first date, he said to her, would you rather go to Fiji, or would you rather go rafting down the Grand Canyon? First date. So, you know, Gary was always doing stuff, and I will tell you, growing up, I wanted nothing more than to be like Gary. Really, I just wanted to grow up and be like Gary. And some of you may know, I did end up joining the military, and I did end up traveling around the world, and I did end up, in some ways, fashioning my life after Gary. Because to me, that was the top of the hill, Gary, right? Well, I still wasn't around Gary much, and I don't think I was around him for the first time until I was around 30. And I really wanted Gary to be impressed with how I had modeled my life after him and the traveling I'd done and the success I had, and I was really excited to get Gary's approval. And what I discovered was that Gary wasn't really too impressed with women in general. You know, I mean, he obviously likes Lois, but, you know, he just had a different attitude about women, and that there was no way that I could impress him. And that was very difficult for me to accept. I still haven't been around Gary a lot in my life. Our paths just don't cross very often. But recently, I had an invitation to go to his house. In fact, that's where I was last weekend. That's why I wasn't here. I went to Gary's house last weekend. I'd never been there before. And I told myself going there that the time of trying to impress Gary was over. I was not going there to gain Gary's approval. That I would go there and I would be completely authentic in every way. And if he liked me, great. But if he, you know, disapproved of me like he seemed to when I was 30, that was fine. And the funny thing is, I noticed a couple times while I was there, I did say something in hopes of his approval anyway. It was like an old habit. And I would catch myself and immediately shift back into being authentic, right? But, so why did I tell that story? Well, obviously that's what this message is about, is how we act. And we may not be fully aware of it if we aren't paying attention to it. I was aware of my temptation to say certain things to Gary. Like I said, a couple times I did slip and do it just to get his approval. But maybe we aren't always fully aware of how we act. You know, we act in a certain way around people in order to get their approval. And that's what Holy Spirit is talking about here. And he's saying the reason that we continue to act is because we know within ourselves that illusory approval is not the same as permanent, unconditional love. And so once we start singing and dancing for the man, right, for Gary in my story, once I start singing and dancing to get Gary's approval, I have to keep right on singing and dancing. Because if I stop, I might lose that approval. Teddy's laughing. Right, so he says he's no song and dance fan. But you know what, Teddy? People sing and dance for you, and I know you know that. People sing and dance for Teddy. They want Teddy's approval for some reason. I don't know what it is. But they do it, Teddy. So, yeah, he knows. So this is something that's in us, that's probably in all of us, until we look at it and realize that this is what Holy Spirit is calling a great obstacle to awakening. I'm sure some people sing and dance. In fact, I know they do. For my approval too, right? I know they do. You know, and so this is something all of us, if we're in hearing of this message, if we notice ourselves singing and dancing for someone's approval, we want to start giving our willingness to let go of, just like I did last weekend when I went to Gary's. I said, of course, Lisa says she takes song requests, so if you want to sing and dance for her, it's okay. But just like I did last weekend when I went to Gary's, I went there with the intention of not seeking his approval. That was my intention, because I'd done it, you know, it seemed like I'd done it all my life. So I went there with the intention not to seek approval, simply to be authentic. And when we choose to be authentic and let people approve of us or not approve of us as they choose, we are literally removing this obstacle to true love, which is what we seek, because it's permanent. The realization of true love, which is always present, but only blocked by the obstacles we put in front of it, such as desiring approval of others. In the next paragraph, Holy Spirit says, "Now that I have painted this picture for you, and you are looking at it honestly with me, I'd like to talk about what you are doing to yourself. It is important that you see this as an obstacle to your true happiness. If you do not see this as an obstacle, you will not let it go." Did you guys hear that? If you do not see this as an obstacle, you will not let it go, because you believe illusory approval is love. And you know love is the only means of happiness. So, you know, I'm reminded now of Jesus in the Bible when he talks about the house built on sand and the house built on the foundation of rock. And of course, the house built on sand is always shifting, right? Imagine how difficult my life would be if I was dependent on Gary's approval for me to feel loved, accepted. I mean, Gary may give it to me in one instant, you know, and he may take it away in the next. It's like the house built on shifting sands. And Laura Blue has a question. So Laura Blue, what do you have for me? "I have still a little bit of a problem with a desire to be loved coming only from the ego. So here is my question again, this time more detailed." Okay. In ACM, we read this: God loves his son forever. Right. Now you are saying that a true desire to receive what God is giving, which is love, is from the ego. End of question. I guess probably what I am saying is, the desire to be loved is coming from a belief in lack and a self-judgment within ourself. and that God can love us perfectly, which God does. The love is perfect. But as long as that self-judgment and lack is in us, we are blocking it. So what we want to do is remove the obstacle that blocks what is. We do not need to desire for God to love us. We do not need to desire for perfect love to be. That is a fact. That is, right? We need to desire maybe to know love, to recognize love, to realize love, but we don't have to desire to be loved because that love is a fact. But you know what, Lord Blue, that's just, you know, if somehow this rings true for you, I'm okay with that because I teach from what has been given to me by Holy Spirit. And what has been given to me by Holy Spirit has been extremely helpful. But I realize that, you know, you could say all of our egos are programmed a little differently. And so sometimes we need slightly different angles, slightly different stuff in order to realize truth. So if for you, because I notice you're really highlighting the word true, if for you a true desire to be loved by God is helpful, there's nothing in me that wants to take that away from you. So when you hear me teaching the way I'm teaching, then just listen with the ears of, this is what was given to Regina because this was helpful for her. And I think you'll be fine. And you follow your guidance and what's helpful for you. In fact, if we all do that, it would be a beautiful experience for everyone. Okay. So, I'm going to take a drink of water. Now I'm thirsty. Now I have a true desire for liquid. All right, so let's get back to the message. Holy Spirit is saying, now that I have painted this picture for you and you are looking at it honestly with me, I'd like to talk about what you are doing to yourself. It is important that you see this as an obstacle to your true happiness. If you do not see this as an obstacle, you will not let it go because you believe illusory approval is love. And you know love is the only means of happiness. So he's saying we need a bit of understanding here, or we're going to keep right on seeking for that illusory approval because we think that's love. We're confused about what love is. So Holy Spirit continues. When you seek illusory approval, or when you believe illusory... Okay, hold on 1 second. We have people walking in the house now. Hey, Nikki. Hello. Mwah. Big kiss.
Hi, everybody.
Nikki Dobson is in the room. And there's Ruby. Okay. All right, so back to the paragraph. I said that this idea that you cannot... Oops, I'm in the wrong paragraph, sorry. When you seek illusory approval, or when you believe illusory approval has been found, you are placing your trust with something that is not real. Because you are the Son of God, you know at a level that is intuitive that you are trusting the false as if it is something true. You also know this is a lie, and that as a lie, it must fail you. Therefore, at a level that may not seem conscious, you live your life of illusory approval as a life of fear. This is why you can never relax. Laurent used to always talk about how his butt was tight. He would say that his butt was tight and he couldn't relax his butt, right? He couldn't just relax totally. He always had to keep it a little bit tight. And this is, I think, probably speaking to him, this particular paragraph. It says, this is why you can never relax. The foundation you have placed your faith for happiness on is not solid, and as the Son of God, you know this. So, hey, Nan.
Hey, how
are you? Nan Kinney is in the room. Okay, so again, what Holy Spirit is saying is if you are seeking illusory approval, and I will tell you, now that we've kind of shifted into Laurent, I will tell you this was very important to him. In fact, so important to him, you guys probably know that Laurent was a singer, and he had a contract with, I believe it was MGM, and he put out 2 CDs, and he did concerts, and he had done television appearances, and he was really doing quite well. But for him, it was a painful experience instead of a really positive experience. It was a painful experience. And the reason it was a painful experience is because he was always looking at the faces to see if he was being approved of in the moment or not. And, of course, you can imagine if you're always looking at the faces to see if you're being approved of, you're going to find the faces that maybe don't have that expression. Do you guys all approve of me? Hard to tell. You're going to find those. And so what Spirit is telling him is this is why you can't relax, because you have illusory approval and love mixed up. And not only that, you can never, ever get the approval of all 6 billion people on the planet. And in fact, you can probably never, ever, unless you're dealing with an enlightened one, you can probably never, ever get the approval of one person 100% of the time, right? So if you are depending on illusory approval to convince yourself that you are loved and lovable, well, you're really counting on something you can't count on, and you know that, and that's why your butt is tight. That's why you can't ever relax, right? You actually live in fear. There's this underlying fear always. Holy Spirit continues, I said that this idea that you cannot trust illusory approval seems unconscious. I say it seems unconscious because in truth, it isn't. If you look at it carefully with me, you will see that the fear of loss of approval is never truly unconscious. You may not admit to yourself that you are doing this or that, never truly being fully authentic because you seek approval. But if you look at it slowly with me now, you know it is true. The idea that you must win approval is always there, lurking in the open back of the mind. Therefore, it is not unconscious. And if it is not unconscious, you can look at it more directly with me. So I'm wondering now, and of course you don't all have to stick up your hands or anything, but I am wondering now how many of us are starting to look at, as we listen to this message, look at ourselves and realize, you know, he's talking about me too, because I spend a lot of time seeking approval. It's true. I spend a lot of time seeking approval, and it is also true that I cannot relax, you know. Holy Spirit continues. Now let's look at your, notice what he calls it, greatest worldly fear. Let's imagine, are you ready? Your greatest worldly fear. I'm having a hot flash anyway, so I'm joining in on this. But if you aren't having hot flashes yet, maybe you're about to, because he's going to have you look at your greatest worldly fear. Get ready for the hot flashes. Pull out the fans. Here we go. Let's imagine no approval. Let's imagine there is not a shred of it. Let's imagine that everywhere you look, you encounter open hatred directed toward you. There isn't a single soul you can count on. The entire world is joined in agreement on one thing, and that one thing is that they don't like you. They don't want you. They don't want to lay eyes on you. They don't even want the thought of you crossing their minds because it causes them such terrible agony. The one thing that the entire world is in agreement on is this. They thoroughly and completely hate and are disgusted by you. Okay, is anybody else having a hot flash yet? I don't want to be alone in this hot flash thing. All right? He really wants you to look at this. He's not joking. He wants you to look at the idea. Look at the idea that nobody loves you. At work, your coworker, I mean, I've experienced this. Maybe it was my imagination, but I experienced this. You know, when I was in the military in Berlin, I worked for a period of time with a flight of people. Well, now I'm remembering the story, so it was my imagination, but listen to how my imagination played out. I had this distinct feeling that the women that I worked with did not like me at all. And I was very uncomfortable. No one. I was alone, you know. And so when we went to lunch, I would always go and sit at my own table. And this went on for a year and a half or so. And then one day some kind of a conflict broke out because, you know, there was some open hatred toward me, at least by this point. And our captain, our boss, brought me and this other girl into the room and wanted to know what was going on. And I was shocked when she told me that I did not approve of them. I was shocked. And then she gave her proof that I never once came and sat down and ate with them. Isn't that interesting? And I wasn't eating with them because I thought they hated me. You know, so sometimes, you know, this can be imagination that comes into reality. But my point is, I experienced, yes, self-fulfilling. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. I experienced feeling hated by everyone. And it's a very uncomfortable experience, right? He says, sit in this for a moment and notice how much you fear this idea. Really, how many of you guys can say, yeah, I'd be totally cool if everybody hated me, right? It's not an idea that we're fond of. He says, don't worry that it can be true. It can never be true. So he doesn't want you getting scared about this. He says, it is impossible to be totally abandoned by love. But look at this for a moment as if it is true and notice how much you fear this as an idea of truth. So what he's really having us do is look right straight at it, because if we can look right straight at it, then maybe we can start to realize, wait a minute, it is true. I am only doing this and saying this and avoiding this and all of these things that aren't authentic for me because I'm fearing this ridiculous picture that he's painting for me. I really, down deep inside, fear being totally rejected. I fear being totally rejected. And I think that in order to convince myself that I'm not totally rejectable, I need the approval of others. And there are so many things that I am doing to constantly try and get that approval. And since it's not something that is a consistent type of love, I live in a position of stress, a position of fear. He just wants us to admit that this obstacle is in our minds. He says, now let's look beyond this idea. Now that you've sat here and looked at it for a minute, just how true this is for you. Now let's look beyond this idea, because there is another idea that you fear more. Oh, shit. You guys believe that? It's going to get worse. Oh, Jamie wants to go outside. If somebody would please take care of her for me, since there's so many people in the room. Now let's look beyond this idea, because there is another idea that you fear more. Hold my hand and willingly engage your free-flowing imagination as we step in together and look closely at what you truly fear. When you see the world hating you, despising you, and cutting you off, you are lost in a terrible suffering. But do not look away from why you suffer. Your suffering is not truly coming from them, okay? So you guys put yourself in the scene. He's really asking you to use your imagination here so that you can look at this. Put yourself in the scene. Really imagine no one likes you. Right? We all agree. We don't like you. All right? He says, your suffering is not truly coming from them. Look carefully, honestly, and completely at what you are feeling now. You are suffering because you believe the hatred they project onto you is true. You believe it is real. And you believe it is real because you believe it is deserved. Okay, so the real problem, which is how he started the paragraph, started the message at the top, the real problem is that we believe that, we're totally unworthy, completely rejectable, nothing but a fake, shameful. These are all words people have used for me. Different words capture it for different people. The Course often uses the word guilt. Sinners, Lord Blue's throwing out sinners. The real reason we're suffering is because it's kind of like we think we've been found out. Now they see me the way I really am. I faked them for a while, but now they see the real me. And that's the real reason we're suffering, is because we believe it. We're the ones who aren't approving, right? We're the ones we were really trying to fake out all this time. He says, and I don't know what this is, a typo. I don't know what this word is supposed to be. In a whoos. In a whoos. A quick change of perspective. Maybe that's a whoosh. In a whoosh. Maybe the H is missing, right? Yeah. Okay. In a whoosh. A quick change in perspective. You see clearly that the judgment you fear is not really theirs. You fear your agreement with their judgment. This is what you really fear the most. And I've experienced this a couple of times, one of which is coming up in a few weeks. The story that's coming up in January of 2008, which is where we are now in this story, is when Laurent seems to reject me. When he, at this point, when this message came, I think that we were experiencing kind of a love affair. There was a temporary period of time where we experienced this love affair. At least that was my perspective. But after a few weeks, at some point, he got up and he literally moved out of my bedroom into the guest room and avoided me as much as he could in the house, just completely avoided me. And I felt completely rejected. And in fact, we're going to look at the conversation I had with Holy Spirit when this happened. We'll be looking at that in a few weeks. But what you'll see is Holy Spirit is telling me then the same thing he's telling us here, is that what's really hurting me is that I believe I deserve that rejection. I really believe that Laurent just saw that I'm not good enough, and that that's just a fact about who I am, and what idiot would stay after they saw that, right? I mean, and Holy Spirit is saying this belief is in all of us. There was another time, I know I told you this story as well, before Laurent came to live with me, when I had the fear of rejection. You can see this rejection thing was really big for me. It keeps coming up over and over again. Before he moved in with me, when I had this fear of rejection, I had this experience of choosing to stay with the fear for two whole nights. And the first place I got to in the mind was I went way beyond the idea of Laurent rejecting me, and I got to this point in the mind where I saw that what I feared was that God would reject me, that if I let go all of my defense mechanisms and got completely vulnerable and went to God, God would say, not you. Just like kind of in this little scenario we're imagining here, like everyone else is okay, but not you. And then I even went beyond that in my mind, just like we're doing in this message. I went beyond that and I saw that what I really feared even more, because God, in that scenario, God is still an other. I can still defend myself against his rejection by saying God's an asshole, right? I can put up a defense mechanism. But there's one person I cannot put up a defense mechanism against, and that's myself. If I ever decide within myself that I am thoroughly repulsive, that's it. If that decision is ever made, that is it, because I have to be with myself all of the time. And that's my greatest fear. And that's what Spirit is saying here. That is all of our greatest fear. And we cover up our greatest fear through this game of getting approval. But you can see how the game of getting approval is never going to address or heal the fear, right? Yes, self-rejection. It's never going to address or heal the fear, and we're always going to have to keep singing and dancing and playing that act, and we're never going to be able to relax. unless we allow that fear to be healed. And in fact, you know, I didn't even remember that this message came only a couple of weeks before. I think it was actually around the 15th of January when Laurent, quote, rejected me. So this is came on the 5th of January. I didn't even remember that this message came so soon before that experience. But right now that I'm seeing this timeline, I'm extremely grateful that Laurent rejected me. I am so grateful, because that is the experience that healed the belief in rejection for me. Like, it hasn't come back since. It showed up over and over again up until that point. But after that point, it was healed completely. So I'm so grateful Laurent rejected me, because if he hadn't, I would still be carrying that around in my mind. So Holy Spirit says, in a whoosh, a quick change in perspective, you see clearly that the judgment you fear is not really theirs. You fear your agreement with their judgment. You fear your judgment of you, or as Barb is saying, self-rejection. You fear your final and complete, oh boy, this is it. You guys, this is really what we fear more than anything, more than anything. You fear your final and complete self-devouring hatred of yourself. And whenever you seek approval, whenever you want someone outside of you to love you, what you are not seeing is that what you truly desire is simply to love yourself. He then continues. Loving yourself is not as difficult as you may think it is. Loving yourself is simply a matter of learning to see yourself as you are instead of as you are not. Remember in the first paragraph, he told us that what we were judging, what we didn't love, was an illusory version of ourself, right? So he says, loving yourself is simply a matter of learning to see yourself as you are instead of as you are not. And although your eyes are trained to see you as you are not, both when you look at yourself and when you look at others, your mind naturally directs your attention also to see that which you are. It is simply a matter of recognizing one as your truth and the other as that which is not the truth of what you are. This is reminding me of the two evaluations section in A Course in Miracles. We have two evaluations of us in our mind, right? Which one are we going to listen to? Laura Blue is saying the next four paragraphs have enough material for a 200-page book. And he is correct. He didn't finish his sentence of what I'm imagining, is that we don't have a lot of time. But let's go over it. And if we feel like we didn't do it justice, then we'll just do it again next week. All right? Holy Spirit says, this is why I ask you to look beyond the body as you look for the truth of what you are. You can never limit your view to your body or to any aspect that represents individual as self, which means not your intelligence, not your how funny you are, nothing about your personality, not just the body, but nothing about your personality can be that which you anchor your love and approval on. It can't be anything about that illusory self. When Spirit says that you need to love yourself, he is not asking you to like your thighs better or to be okay with the fact that you stutter. He's not referring to that illusory self at all. He wants you to look beyond the illusory self and discover the self that is love, right? So he says, you can never limit your view to your body or to any aspect that represents individual as self and love you as you, because separate is not what you are. You must broaden your view to all things in order to love self. You must let your eyes gaze out the window and land on a bush or onto a specific leaf on a bush, or on an airplane, a car, or a piece of rolled up paper moving through the street with the wind. Let your eyes land on anything that seems not to be the body and say to yourself, that which I see is also me. Now, one thing Holy Spirit does with me a lot is he gives me mantras. And I've found that these mantras work if I'm willing to practice them. And he's saying that the way you're going to learn to love yourself is by realizing you are not that illusory self. And here's an exercise that's going to help you realize that. Whatever your eyes land on, say, that which I see is also me. Because if this magnifying glass is also me, and I guarantee you that that is true. I've had enough experiences to know that that is true. So if this magnifying glass is also me, then I cannot be this body person, Regina, that I think I am or that you may think I am. And it's interesting that he should say, you know, one thing that your eyes may land on is a piece of rolled up paper moving through the street with the wind. I recently saw the movie American Beauty. Maybe some of you have seen it too. And there's a character in that movie who likes to make videos. And he shows his new girlfriend the most beautiful video he ever made. Do you remember this, Lord Blue? He wants to show her the most beautiful video he ever made. Yeah. And it was a plastic bag blowing in the wind. And they sat and they watched that. They watched that. And that's really the moral of that movie. You know, it has a lot of darkness in it. But the moral of that movie is that none of this is real. And yet we can be grateful for all of it because it's all beautiful. It's way more beautiful than we imagine when we're looking at it as if it is real. It is, every bit of it is beautiful, even the plastic bag or the rolled up paper blowing in the wind. And what Spirit is saying here is an exercise that's going to be helpful to you to learn to love your true self is to start practicing appreciation of everything. Not appreciation for the scissors as a pair of scissors, but appreciation for the scissors as also you. Right? That which I see is also me. And what happens if you practice this is that you begin to become more aware of the essence that is all things. And that essence is the truth of what we are. So by focusing our eyes in this way, by focusing our mind on this way, Holy Spirit is focusing us away from the illusion, I'm this body, this personality, right? To the truth. I am the essence that is all things. Nothing exists without that which I am, right? Holy Spirit says, as you broaden your view by holding this thought in the mind repeatedly, day after day, one moment of remembrance to the next, you will begin to see that you do not truly hate yourself. You fear hating self, but that is because you accept self as less than all it is, because you are eliminating it to this body, this personality. When you broaden the view of self to everything, you cannot hate it. Everything can only be loved. To judge and to hate, you must separate. But without the illusion of separation, there is only love. And then he says, willingly broaden your view of self. You can't love an illusion of you. Don't try and make, you know, Liz is in the room. Don't try and make Liz better, right, Liz? Don't try and make Regina better. Right? Don't try and make Cliff better. Don't try and make Lisa better. That is not the way. Be willing to see that that's not what you are. Right? Be willing to get to know the true self, the essence that is love, and it can only be loved. There's no way that it cannot be loved. Willingly broaden your view of self. You can't love an illusion of you because it isn't true. But love of truth is flowing, and you cannot be separate from that flow when you accept that the flow of everything is you. And that's the end of the message, but what I'm going to do, because we have a couple of minutes left, I'm going to open up to NTI Colossians. I want you to hear these paragraphs. I remember reading them recently. I think it was in an NTI teaching. I said that they were two of my favorite paragraphs. I'm going to read them again. The first one is NTI Colossians chapter 1. Let's see. I'm having trouble finding Colossians. It could have fallen out of my book. My book's like falling apart here. Here's Philippians. I found Colossians. Okay, so the bottom of page 355, Holy Spirit asks the question, what are you then if you are the Christ? Okay, listen to this answer. He's describing what our truth is. Ready? He says, you are the flow that is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the creator of all things within time. You are the heavens and the earth, the bees and the sunshine. You are the process, or we could use the word essence as well, that made all things and is all things, so that they live through the process that created them. You are the flow of life and separate from nothing that is life. For that which flows through them is the process, or we could say the essence, that you are. You are beyond concepts and differences and form, and within the life force that is all things. How could that be hated? See, the only way that you can hate yourself or judge yourself is to see yourself as less than what you are. If you get to recognize your true self, it's impossible not to love it. On page 257, at the top of NTI Colossians chapter 2, here's another paragraph. You are all things, and all things are you. You are the life that flows in and out of all things. You are the wisdom and knowledge that travels on the current of life, which moves through everything seen and unseen. In this way, you are absent from nothing, and nothing is disconnected from you. All right, that's it for me today. Y'all have a wonderful evening, and I will see you again on Wednesday. Bye-bye.